Got to move these microphones out of the way, Angel, so I can see you. You know how I roll. You got to have a clear picture of Angel Padilla on the other side of the bulletproof glass. How you doing, man? How you feeling? How's everybody feeling? It's a day later. You know, reaction day was yesterday. Think we're I don't know. I'm kind of numb, to be honest. But Angel, how you doing, man? How's life? How's life treating you?
It's fine.
Yeah, just fine. Yeah, things gotta be going good for you.
Well, I mean, I'm happy about the Dolphins winning. I'm looking forward to another challenge. And
oh, you mean that wasn't a challenge? That wasn't a challenge. Oh, it was a challenge.
But you know, I'm looking forward to the next one. And it's a big one.
Was it really a challenge?
Yeah, every game's a challenge.
Oh yeah, every game.
I was telling you, it's a trap game. I meant that.
It was not a trap.
I'm telling you, I was surprised that they scored that much.
Oh,
I've watched this team for 3 years.
History.
I'm surprised they scored that much.
I think, you know, Vic Lombardi's in Denver. Vince Lombardi's surprised. I think football gods are surprised that Miami went and did that. I just feel like we were in a fight Sunday, and we were all just like knocked unconscious at some point, and now maybe we're starting to come to, and we can look back and go, oh, that was awful. That was awful. Where do you go from here? How do you turn that page? How do you possibly turn that page?
You play the second worst team in the league.
And if you lose that game, bye-bye birdie. I mean, it's and you're in Chicago. I don't know. I don't have a read on this.
Not a home field advantage because those fans are ready to revolt.
As they should be.
Yes.
But this is what I'm talking about lately here is what do bad organizations do? What did Chicago do? They drafted a quarterback way too early with Mitch Trubisky to start things off. They kept firing different coaches and pairing him with different guys.
They kept thinking that their top five defense was going to last as long as they could find a quarterback.
Yep. And then they kept saying, oh, well, this coach doesn't like that quarterback that we drafted, so let's either draft a new quarterback or fire this coach. And they went through several different coaches and several quarterbacks. I mean, don't forget, they moved up to go get Trubisky. This is what bad organizations do. They just keep grasping. They are sinking. And what did we talk about on Monday or Friday, whenever it was? You don't move in quicksand. And bad organizations are constantly moving in quicksand. There's no take a breath here. And I get it. We're an impatient fan base.
Well, the league doesn't advocate for rebuilding. This isn't like, we all love to say, yeah, that team's rebuilding, but you know, coaches will get fired in 2 years if they don't rebuild fast enough.
You can't sell tickets to a rebuilding team. Mm-mm. And the Broncos have never been in that state. I mean, even after John Elway.
I mean, Houston's been rebuilding for 10 years, but that fan base has been there since the 90s.
Even after John Elway, it was Brian Griese's the guy. You know, he was a starter over Tom Brady at Michigan. He's going to be the guy. And again, I'm not like faulting what the Broncos did the year after Elway. That was replacing a legend. But we've never been really sold on, oh, this is a rebuild kind of thing. Some teams are, and I'll agree with you that it's getting more rare to see a team say, yeah, this is a rebuild year. This is a retool year. We're going to take a pause and see how everything looks after the end of the season and grow with a quarterback. We don't do that anymore. I mean, you don't. I got to commend the Packers. For one thing, they kept Jordan Love, and they said, hey, eventually we're going to be done with Aaron, either by his doing, our doing, or a mutual agreement. We're going to stay with this guy and see what we can do. And right now, so far, not bad.
Well, the trend is get your young rookie quarterback and throw him in there, and he's ready to go. You know, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Richardson, just throw him in there. They're ready.
Jordan Love's
been on the bench for 3 years.
And we don't do
him
that.
He's still kind of rough, but he's way better than these rookies are playing.
Yeah, teams don't do that anymore. I think it's a weird trend.
They don't realize, I need an offensive line to protect my young quarterback.
Or they don't build in different areas. Mm-hmm. I mean, last night, I'm watching some of this bad football. Even the Eagles. Eagles are 3-0, but there's bad football going on.
Not a lot of impressive about them other than the tush push.
And they do it 4 million times in a game. But it works.
Don't let them get to fourth and short.
No, because they're going to be pushing some tush. That's what they're going to be doing. somehow. It's the funniest phrase in sports now. But this is bad organizations constantly reach. Constantly. Or they gamble unnecessarily. You know, go back to the Broncos drafting Bradley Chubb. He's your boy now, Angel.
Ew.
The Broncos didn't need a pass rusher when they drafted Bradley Chubb. Now, I'm famous for this. I predicted that the Broncos were going to draft Bradley Chubb. I predicted that he was going to fall to them at 5. And the reason I predicted that, the reason I predicted the Broncos would take him is because John Elway was subscribing to the best player available. That's a fine way to look at things if that position isn't already something you have filled. But the Broncos at that time had Von Miller and Shaq Barrett. They're pass rushers. And they drafted Bradley Chubb. Shaq Barrett wasn't the Shaq Barrett we know today, but he was on his way. That was bad evaluation. So Denver goes that route, and Shaq Barrett's turned out to be one heck of a player. Bradley Chubb's fine. He's okay. But Shaq Barrett's a top, you'd say he's a top pass rusher. He's a great player. But that was you just look at that, and that was Broncos going, you know what? He's the best player available. Let's get him. You didn't need him. You didn't need that player at that point in time at number 5.
And this was the draft with Baker, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Yep.
And even though Josh Rosen didn't work out, and Baker, I don't know, but he wasn't really there for him. But that's going to go down in history as missing out on Josh Allen, which why wouldn't John Elway pick Josh Allen?
He's like,
just like him.
The Broncos should have had Josh Allen, and the Bears should have had Patrick Mahomes.
What do those two organizations have in common? They do bad things. They get caught up. Was Josh Allen sexy? Playing for Wyoming?
He had a big arm.
He had a big arm, and he was tougher than nails. That's not sexy. Bradley Chubb? Have you seen this guy? You've seen this guy now. He is a monster of a man. By rights, you look at him, he should dominate the NFL. And John Elway got glitter in his eyes and said, we're going to go with that guy because he's going to be the next Von Miller. He's going to be...
After paying Von how much money?
A lot.
Yeah.
He's going to be... Bradley Chubb is going to be the DeMarcus Ware to Von Miller. Or Von Miller is going to be the DeMarcus Ware to Bradley Chubb becoming the new Von Miller. Mm-hmm. And that's what John Elway was trying to recapture. And so you don't go with Josh Allen. You mess up there. You don't draft quarterbacks ever again. You traded... You know, you had a top 20 pick or something like that. You moved around. No, you had a top, like, what was it the year they drafted? They drafted Dalton Reisner and Drew Locke. They drafted Noah Fant, Dalton Reisner, and Drew Locke. The Broncos had a top, I want to say a top 12 pick, but they moved it. They traded back and acquired another second round pick, but they drafted Noah Fant. What was
it? That was 2019. It took Dalton Reisner at 41,
yeah,
and then Drew Locke at 42, and their first round pick was Noah Fant.
Noah Fant at 20, right?
Yes.
And so they had, I don't know if you can see this, I want to say they had a top 12, and they traded out of it so they could get another second round pick.
You were at 10.
You were at 10,
and you traded that pick to Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, in turn, took Devin Bush, the linebacker.
How's Devin Bush doing these days? I don't know, but that was a guy I wanted the Broncos to get, so who knows how that would have gone.
And Josh Allen had gone 3 picks before.
Oh, that was the...
Josh Allen was the linebacker.
Yeah, there's so many Josh Allen. But I remember at the time, I was pissed at that move. I was like, why? You have a top 10. You worked
top
your butt off.
For Murray and Daniel Jones.
Yeah. I'd take Daniel Jones at this point. But I'm telling you, at that point I was mad. And then a bunch of people said, are you still mad? They got 3 starters out of it. Noah Fant, Dalton Reisner, and Drew Locke. And I love Dalton Reisner personally.
How many are on this team?
How many are on this team? And how many are starting? What's Noah Fant doing in Seattle? Nothing?
He's doing something.
Is he doing something? I honestly don't know. I know Dalton just signed on with Minnesota last week. And I know Drew Locke is a backup quarterback.
He's got 8 catches, 97 yards, no touchdowns, but 12.1 yards a catch.
Is he the starter? I'm guessing he's the starter. Through 3 games, that's not bad. But still.
Starter or second string, but they run a lot of two tight ends anyway.
But you go, that's what you did. That was your first, that, I mean, you messed up with Josh Allen. You messed up in that draft. And that's just two examples of screwing up the draft. And as much as I've made a stink about the Broncos needing draft picks, and that's why you're seeing the depth situation be so bad for Denver, I don't know that this organization knows what to do with the draft pick. I mean, George Payton was brought in for many reasons, up-and-coming GM, but one of his strengths was evaluating talent in the draft. You keep removing ammunition from him. So the thing you brought him in that he's best at, you have weakened that approach by trading for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. Now again, you, meaning George Payton, you're brought into draft and you lose draft picks. The Broncos are a bad organization, dude. They're a bad organization. They make the wrong hires every step of the way.
Well, a lot of times with bad organizations, it's easy to point at the owners and say, yeah, you just do a bad job.
They're
Broncos
new.
Didn't have an owner for 6 years.
No, it was the trust with Joe Ellis running it, and however many different people there, and obviously John Elway was in charge. But even with this new ownership group, these aren't necessarily football guys that you're bringing in.
And they're walking into a football organization that's apparently a mess, and they have no idea what to do. It's kind of like, hey, Sean, you know how to do this stuff. Do it.
Yeah, and that was another problem. Let's bring in a guy that's done it before. Oh, but he was sitting on the sidelines for Fox making enemies the whole time he was doing media.
We'll focus on renovations and branding and all that. Sean will focus on the team.
It's a series. What does that show? A series of unfortunate events.
By Lemony Snicket.
Yeah. Lemony Snicket could write a sequel.
Count Olaf.
And it would be Denver. This thing. And you could write, like, seriously, one day I want to do this if I'm bold enough, and I just want to go through.
You're hammered enough.
From the Super Bowl, every decision that was made after the Super Bowl, like crucial decision. I'm not talking about a backup defensive tackle or something. I'm talking about crucial decisions.
Crucial decisions before the Super Bowl. Because I think a lot of this can be pointed to the decisions that were made before Peyton Manning came back.
That Super Bowl year, everybody knew Peyton Manning was on his last leg.
Literally.
He was all but booed off the field when they were playing Kansas City. He was hurt. He had a heel thing, but their offense was anemic. They weren't doing anything. So Manning sits down, and then it's Brock Osweiler. And, yeah, you're piecing it together, and it kind of looked okay. The offense looked okay. We've talked about it. I remember a big win they had against Cincinnati. It was a huge win for the Broncos. But then, what were you going to do after the fact? What was life going to be like after Peyton Manning? And we talked about this yesterday, how they botched the Brock Osweiler thing. John Elway's plan was, Gary Kubiak, you are our guy. But that should have been a red flag, because Gary Kubiak did not want to be a head coach. But when John Elway called and said, you can be a Broncos head coach, that's a dream come true. Gary Kubiak said it
in
his press conference.
Peyton Manning's your quarterback.
Yeah, and he said, this is a game changer. He's like, I was going to be content being an offensive coordinator. I think he was with Baltimore at the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was Baltimore. But I'm content here. But Elway had to convince him, hey, this is a job. It's a game changer. It should have been a red flag. And I love Gary Kubiak. But anytime it's like, hey, I was good to retire or not be a head coach ever again. But the Broncos, that would be a cool story. Because that's where I backed up John Elway, and it would be a cool story. And it was for a moment. They won a Super Bowl his first year there. That was the plan, though, that it was going to be Gary Kubiak. Kubiak resigned after the year two. They went 9-7, missed the playoffs. But it was more of a health thing / disagreement. And what I've heard and what I continue to believe is that there was a disagreement about Brock Osweiler. The Gary Kubiak was like all in, and Elway was kind of wishy-washy on it. And I think maybe Gary's like, I didn't want to do this anyway. I got a Super Bowl out of it.
I'm not going to argue with John. Like,
I got to fight this. It's stressful. You know, Gary Kubiak has had a history of heart issues and stress and all that being a head coach. You can understand why. It's a very stressful job. But this this dynamic in Denver just didn't work. Now, Elway, I'll say this till I'm dead and probably beyond the grave, Elway did an amazing job selling Denver to Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning is now a Denver treasure. He lives in Denver. He loves Denver. He promotes the Broncos every step of the way. So I will give Elway all the credit in the world for that. I will give Elway all the credit, he and John Fox, for finding a way to win 8 games with Tim Tebow. I don't know that Elway wanted it like that, but it worked. They won the AFC West that year. But after the Manning thing, he still did some interesting things. I mean, yeah, good, some positive things. But ultimately, it's just... I was talking to Jack Howell about this yesterday. We got the Jack Howell show coming up. We recorded it yesterday. It plays at noon. Safety for Colorado State. Love that program. But I was talking to Jack about this. I said, you know, one of the worst things as a sports fan for me is when you have a 5-year stretch of really good players that you want to root for, but they're just a part of bad organizations. And then they just dissolve and they just go away. And you're like, wow, we had that really... Trey McBride, for example. He was a stud tight end. He's in the NFL now. He was a second round pick. Those were dark days for CSU. Those were very dark days. And not a lot of people are going to... Yeah, Rams fans are going to look back and go, Trey McBride was a stud. That was awesome. But that was the only thing he had going. One of the things I hate to see is wasted good players. Wasting great players. And what are the Broncos doing right now? They're wasting Patrick Surtain. Surtain. And this is the problem. When you're a bad organization, doesn't matter. A broken clock is right twice a day, right? You're going to draft free agent signing, whatever, an undrafted free agent rookie. Those guys might work out. Players are going to come and go. Some guys are going to work out. Every NFL team has a couple of good, really good players. And so one of the things I hate the most is when you look at Patrick Surtain, Justin Simmons, running out. I hate to see great talent wasted. And this is what we're seeing now in Denver. And the reason I brought it up with Jack, because Jack's one of those great safeties in college football. And I hope CSU could turn this thing around, keep going this year, because I want to see guys like Jack Howell and Mo Kamara and Torrey Horton and Dallin Holker rewarded. I don't want this to be a year where it's just like, yeah, you had 4 really good players. 2 of them went off to the NFL. 2 of them you never heard from again. Wasted those years too. That I hate to see that. And the Broncos have continued to do that. They wasted Von Miller's final years in his prime. They wasted some good talent, man. Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb's a good player for Miami. Miami's happy with him. He makes sense for them. You wasted that guy. So this is what bad organizations do. They're going to get lucky and stumble upon guys that work out, whatever. But we have just gotten to this point, Angel, where I'm looking at the bad organizations in the NFL, the consistently bad organizations in the NFL, and that is the Denver Broncos. I said this from the beginning, and now I feel strongly about this. You shouldn't have reached for Sean Payton. Does that mean I was advocating for Nathaniel Hackett to stay? No. I understood
the Jets
why.
Are showing you why he is not the right hire anyway.
He seems incompetent when it comes to this level of football. But at some point, you can't keep just going back to what worked years ago and seeing if that's going to work here. And that's why I bring up bad organizations. They constantly churn out quarterbacks and coaches. That's what bad organizations do. They don't just stay the course. Should they have stayed the course with Hackett? Probably not. That's an outlier. But should they have hired, just because that didn't work with a young and supposedly up-and-coming guy, that doesn't mean you never go back to that again.
Because it's shown to work other places.
Most places right now.
McVay, LaFleur, McDaniel, these guys work.
Look at all the young coaches that were hired as coordinators or whatever. And are now head coaches. I would wager, and I don't have the list in front of me, but we have more first-time guys that started their career here, like Mike McDaniel, and that are still with their teams. I would wager that the rookie head coach guys are still... There's not many Andy Reids and Bill Belichicks anymore. Mm-mm. We're not seeing those guys.
Even McCarthy in Dallas, he kind of gets forgotten about.
Yeah, sure.
But he's been coaching a long time.
Who's Houston's coach?
DeMeco Ryans.
Coach of the week I saw last night. guy the Broncos interviewed.
Yeah, the oldest coaches are probably Belichick, Tomlin, McCarthy, Pete Carroll, and Sean Payton, Doug Peterson.
There's just not a lot of...
The trend is leaning more towards these young, offensive-minded guys.
Yep. And the Broncos went after a legend. Maybe in his own mind. Not even a legend. Maybe that's the wrong word to use. The Broncos went after an idea. Sean Payton won a Super Bowl with New Orleans. Sean Payton won a lot of games with Drew Brees. We want to recapture that. Well, those days are gone. I mean, his last couple of years with New Orleans weren't really great. And then he quits when their salary cap issue becomes a big situation there, a negative situation. This is what a bad organization does, and time again. So here's what I'm going to say. This is all leading me to this. Maybe you don't fire Vance Joseph. Maybe you just see this thing through for the year. Because I know Tanner's like, go bring in Rex Ryan and go Wade Phillips. He's 99 years old. I don't know if he said Wade, but that's what I'm seeing on social media. Bring in these guys. What are they going to do? All your installs and everything that you've accomplished in the preseason and training camp is done. So now you're going to ask a guy to come in the middle of a week and install a defense, and you're expecting it to be better than what you've got? I don't think so.
We'll take a week first to learn your personnel, learn what they're good at, spend another week formalizing and trying out different schemes, and then you spend your third week finally installing everything that's worked.
Mm-hmm. It's not likely that the Broncos would do that. Go find a Rex Ryan kind of guy. That's not realistic.
Well, Sean Payton as a coach.
No. You stay the course with Vance Joseph right now.
You make him fire himself. You don't make it to where Sean Payton is the bad guy here.
It doesn't do a lot of good to fire a coordinator. I always thought it was interesting, firing coordinators in the middle of the season.
No, because then that tells your team, whether or not they're going to give up or not, it's, you got rid of your coach? What am I here for?
Yeah, we're scrapping the plan that we started with, that we worked so hard for in the preseason and training camp. Let's scrap it and do something else. Let's do that. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, and the Avs, a little preseason action last night. They won. Cool. I'm excited about Ross Colton and Miles Wood. Those are two names that you're going to be hearing a lot about with the Avs, so pay attention. Bad? Is it bad that Vance Joseph is gone? Is it bad? I wrote it down as a bad. But for me personally, it is what it is. You're here. You're here now. For better or worse. I don't love the Sean Payton hire. I don't love the Vance Joseph hire. I didn't love the re-signing of Russell Wilson. But here we are. So it might be bad, but I do think the bad part is you should be stuck with them right now. You see this thing through. Now, if it gets to the point where Chicago scores 50 on Sunday, then maybe we have a different conversation to have. The ugly, I don't think it's ugly. We're going for history today, Angel.
Oh, yeah, that's today.
Yeah, history. We're going to go for 100. The Colorado Rockies are on the cusp of the opposite of greatness. The absolute opposite of greatness. They've already achieved their worst season ever. 98 was the worst. They got it. Keep your eyes on the prize, or don't, and the Dodgers will get the job done today.
What is a doubleheader today? So if they don't get it in the first game,
you can get to 101 Dalmatians.
The second
you got two chances to do it today. Might as well do it today. 100 losses. Which brings me to my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. What's worse? Which one's worse? Which is worse? The Rockies about to wrap up their worst season ever? Or the Broncos losing? Some could argue, because you can go look at stats and all that stuff, they're suffering their worst loss ever. Which one's worse?
Statistically, the Rockies is the worst. Like, that is the worst thing you could possibly do. Yeah. Like, the 20-plus years this organization's been around, that is the worst you've ever been.
Yeah.
The Broncos, you guys have just been bad for a little while.
I think Chad posted this on our social media, on our Facebook page. You don't expect the Rockies to do anything. You still kind of expect the Broncos to do something, especially when you bring in Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. So the idea that they lost 70-20 is worse. So the Rockies, you know, maybe you didn't predict them losing this many games, but you, if I would have told you at the beginning of the season, hey, Angel, maybe they're going to lose 100 this year, I don't think that that would have ignited this crazy argument. I think you would have been like, no, Brady, that's crazy. I don't know. But, yeah, they're not good. So, sure, they could lose 100. I mean, a lot of people thought they were going to lose 90. What's 10 more? Texter, Dixon, that a boy, Brady. Let's revisit the Elway years. Sounds like you're starting to come around. No, because I still stand by it. The first 4 or 5 years with John Elway were absolute gold.
Well, there are two different John Elways.
There are two different John Elways.
Quarterback, legendary John Elway, and then there's...
half of his career was good as a VP. Half of his career was good because he won a Super Bowl, and you went to two of them.
Is he two-face?
Yes, he's two-face. Because after Peyton Manning, he flipped the coin, and he's like, I'm two-face.
Stop flipping the coin, John.
Stop flipping the coin. Josh Allen or Bradley Chubb? Chubb. Yeah, that'll show him. It's time for chaos. 11:32 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you listen to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I remember when Sting came out to this, not the musical Sting, but Sting, WCW Sting, ran out to this. He'd been out of wrestling for like 3 years, and out of nowhere this is going, and he just shows up. Man, those were the days. Those are the days. Angel, you missed out on some prime television back in the day.
I really did. I'll see clips of, you know, old 90s, 2000s wrestling. And I'm
best.
Like, man, this is... One, how did they get away with this on TV?
Oh, I don't know.
Two, there are kids watching this on TV.
Part of the reason we watched. You never knew what was going to happen.
Man, I hate that I missed out on this.
Oh, yeah,
and
man.
But I get if my parents knew this was happening, I get why they wouldn't let me watch.
Yeah, we, my brother and I were obsessed with wrestling. You know, we'd get our chores done, run inside either Monday Night Raw or WCW Nitro, Monday Night Nitro. WCW was terrible compared to WWF at that time. It was WWF, but still watched it all. Still absolutely loved it.
I just like the you don't see sports do this anymore. Mm-mm. They bring this, the pageantry and the dramatization.
The Attitude Era was, that's what it was called.
Like
the
personalities
Attitude Era.
And like the actual, like, yeah, it was scripted drama, but it was like you were into it. Like, oh he said that about that guy. You better go in there and kick his butt. Like,
WWF was like the Undertaker. Would be he? The Undertaker had his Ministry of Darkness and all of his, like, that was his faction, his group, 7, 8, 9 guys. They were all like demonic kind of people, and they brought out Vince McMahon's daughter Stephanie McMahon, wheeled her out on a cross, put her into the ring, and he's like, the Undertaker's like, we will sacrifice her, and I'm just like, you know what you're seeing, you know you should be going, this is weird, but you're just enthralled by it. And then suddenly, the Undertaker's getting ready to sacrifice her and do all these bad things, and you hear the Stone Cold music. And then here comes Stone Cold, runs into the ring, and suddenly 18 seven-footers cannot stop Stone Cold. And he's just, bam, there's a hit, there's a hit, there's a hit, there's a hit, boom. Rescues Stephanie McMahon, goes up, starts slamming beers and everything, and I'm just like, I know none of this makes sense into my brain, but it absolutely does.
And people are cheering, and this is great.
Oh, it was amazing. The Rock, I mean, all those guys. So good. So good. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Let's see where you guys sit on this one. Which is worse, the Rockies about to complete their worst season ever, or the Broncos suffering perhaps their worst loss ever? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. I do agree. I think it's the Broncos. Because it was conceivable at the beginning of the season. Every season, I think it's conceivable to consider the fact that the Rockies could have their worst season ever. Every weekend, I don't think the Broncos are going to lose by 50.
Yeah, I mean, Rockies probably lose 100 games today, and it's just, that's the Rockies.
That's the, what are you
going
to do?
One day they'll get it to go and get going and get maybe 60 wins and get back to the playoffs. Maybe.
I don't even know anymore.
But it's okay if you don't, because we'll still be here.
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. 68% say the Broncos suffer one of their worst losses in franchise history. So 31% are like, it's one of them. They lost 59-6 one time. Scoring, like they at least scored points. But losing by 50, I don't know. I think they lost by like 50-plus to nothing once back in like the 60s.
So if you take away the two bench squad touchdowns, this game probably ends 56-20. Is that more tolerable?
Yeah. That's more tolerable. Still.
If the Dolphins' second team doesn't score in the fourth quarter, it's, you feel a little better?
Yeah, a little. Still. But like,
I feel like those last two touchdowns really were just like, oh, come on.
Gave up. I think the Broncos gave up. I think they're like, we can't tackle anyway.
I know
Patrick
Chertan gave up on Chosen.
And that they have a Sanders on their team. Like, he couldn't tackle anybody. I mean,
there's this picture going around of A-Chain running, and there's like 7,000
Broncos are just dead.
It's like a Renaissance piece.
It was so bad. You know, I 70 is video game numbers.
16 for 16 in the first half is Madden.
Yeah,
on easy.
It was Madden on easy. You're playing against, you know, somebody, a computer, and you put it on easy. Just because you want to score a lot of points.
Rookie mode.
Yeah. And so you just go score 70. 56 is like, okay, yeah. I've seen 50
That's
burgers.
A thorough beat.
Yeah. But I've seen it. It happens.
70 was just like.
60 is like, oh, you're north of 50. 70 is like, you're not that far from the big three.
It's only three or four touchdowns.
You know, once they hit 70, I was like, they're not going to get to 80, are they? 80 is like ungodly.
Yeah, it's never been done.
I can't even imagine. But I think the theme yesterday too, like with Mike McDaniel, it was like you almost wanted them to go for the score because now it's worse because
you could have
they passed. Feel sorry for you.
Like I could have tied the record, but
yep.
Nah.
But you
my
know,
kicker doesn't need an extra rep.
You've seen enough.
The fans don't need another cheer.
He, you know, it's like that. You just beat the hell out of this guy. He's had enough. You know, sleep it off, pal. You've had it. I just beat the hell out of you.
Sleep for a week.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Rough go. 42 minutes after the hour. The Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up. We react to the big win against Middle Tennessee over the weekend. That and more coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
You may now kiss your bride!
Oh, for God's sake! God, here it comes! Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold and The Undertaker!
I got goosebumps. Yes, those were the glory days, man. The absolute glory days. I don't even know, like, which kind of wrestler now? Like, they don't have anybody that just separates themselves.
Roman Reigns. He's kind of a big name. But I like how they're doing this. It's the unholy wedding.
Yeah.
And they bring out, you know, the Shamrock guy, and he goes out first and gets his butt kicked. And then the Big Show comes out, and he gets his butt kicked.
Yep.
And then here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Beats them all. The
and they're in the
show.
Back show like, no, we got to wait. We can't just let him do it first. And then Stone Cold comes out. It's great
stuff. Well, it's great because one-on-one, if Stone Cold were to have a matchup against The Undertaker one-on-one, it would be like a 20-minute match and back and forth. Mm. But because Stone Cold's running out to break up a fight, suddenly he can take down 20 of them and knock The Undertaker out like three times.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like it's a different... Wait, why were you able to take out 20 dudes, but you can't take out one guy if it's like an actual match?
Well, when the Big Show comes out, they have to get this bigger dude to come fall on top of him.
Was it Viscera? Was it a big, gigantic black man with blonde hair? Viscera. Yeah, I loved Viscera. And they had the Brood, Edge, Christian. I don't remember the other one. Man, it was good. Those were the days. Edge was a stud, too. 11:48 the time. I tell you... When I think about the buffs, I think Brian Howell, our guy, from Buff Zone should be ready to write another book. Because he wrote the book, you know, 100 Things Buffs Fans Should Know Before They Die. I think Primetime, whether you love him or hate him, he is the most fascinating study right now anyways when it comes to sports. Now, yeah, it's fizzled a little bit, but don't you wonder what he's teaching over there? Is it Dan Lanning? I keep messing his name up. Dan Lanning, the Oregon head coach. You know, Skip Bayless goes off on him. ESPN hates Oregon now. They are public enemy number one. The Oregon Ducks. They used to be fanfare. Everybody loved Oregon. Now you go against Prime. So Skip Bayless weighed in on Dan Lanning's comments, and I heard a few things. But you know, here's what Dan had to say about Skip Bayless.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Skip at all. I've never had a conversation with him. I've watched him enough to know how often he gets it wrong. So, I mean, that sounds about right. But, I mean, ultimately, here's what I say. We're playing to win the game, right? And you saw a 15-second clip from a window view outside the house of what happens in the locker room, right? I know our locker room. I'm in the house 100% of the time. I know how our players felt going into that game. And I know what it takes to motivate our players. That's my job, to motivate our players, right? He has a job. I have a job, too, to get out there and to perform on the field. But inside that house, they felt a certain way. They felt a certain way about a group stomping on the O. They felt a certain way about guys talking to them in the pregame. And I'm proud of those guys, because what they decided to do is talk with their pads, right? They didn't want to do anything extra afterwards. They want to talk with their pads, and they did that on Saturday. I'm also grateful and can clearly acknowledge that the attention that we got this Saturday, in large part, was due to Deion and what he's doing to college football. And if anybody can't see what he's done for college football and how he's bringing excitement to college football, you're crazy, right? And I said that last week as well. He's done a lot for the game. He's building something over there. I think that's really, really clear. There's no secret there. But it wouldn't matter if I was playing my 10-year-old son on the other sideline. I'm going to do everything I can to win. If I'm playing Bill Belichick, I'm going to do everything I can to win. Did I go for it on fourth down? Yeah, I have every game this year. Right, I've gone for it 9 times. Did I go for a 2-point conversion? Yeah, I've done it 3 out of the 4 games this year. And if we play again tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do everything I can to win a game and everything I can to motivate my team.
I like what he had to say. Again, it's interesting with Oregon saying we don't do it for clicks. Oregon's all about the clicks and stuff. But I do like what he had to say. Also, while respecting Primetime at the same time. He's calling it out. It's all true. What Primetime's doing is phenomenal. It's ultimately good for the game. But your players talking trash and scraping up our logo is kind of the opposite of what your players were going against, what the players were mad about with the Nebraska situation.
What we have to realize as fans is that coaches, they do these types of things to motivate their team. This isn't to get clicks. This isn't to get headlines. It's to motivate their team.
Yeah, what you say in a locker room to motivate your team, you're usually going against the other team. They do all this. You use whatever their brand is, and you try to attack that in your locker room. Now, yeah, they filmed it, but I just think it's funny.
They're not, like, personal directed attacks at Deion Sanders and his family and his culture and all of that.
Yeah, I think, like, ESPN just going after anybody and everybody that has something to say about Primetime. It's so hilarious to me. Like, you wouldn't have talked about Oregon football in your yelling conversations that you have. The yell-offs that they have, and they're all agreeing. They all four agree on that. That's the one thing that four gentlemen on a panel can agree on, is that Oregon bad, meanies, Primetime good, leave him alone.
Will Lincoln Riley say anything this week?
I don't know. Primetime's already saying how much he loves and respects him. And Primetime, I'll give him that. He doesn't really throw shade. He doesn't do that. His players might. 11:52 the time. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
On the rocks, liquor. Man, I'm telling you. There's a lot of liquor stores. They're all over the place. But I trust these guys. You walk in, you have an idea what they're going to be about. They're going to have a refrigerators full of craft beer that are from local breweries. Always the other stuff, too, the mainstay stuff that you know about. They're going to have it all. But I love the fact that On the Rocks Liquor is like the cleanest liquor store around. That means something to me. You walk into this place where the lights are flickering, your shoes are sticking to the floor a little bit, and it's kind of like, where's the cash register?
There's a cat randomly.
There's a cat here. There's nobody at the cash register. What's going on here? But at On the Rocks, well lit, you walk in and you're greeted, and if you have some questions, they're going to help you out. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, plenty to talk about throughout the show today. Coming up in the noon hour for Rams fans, even if you're not a Rams fan, you want to hear a heck of a football player talk intelligently about his football team and what that win against Middle Tennessee did for this program? You're going to want to stay tuned to this. Jack Howell's a rare one. He has got an amazing family, legendary family, local guy that bleeds green and gold. And it means so much to him. It would mean so much to him if they can turn this season around. Maybe they got off to that starting point by beating Middle Tennessee. So we're going to talk to Jack Howell coming up next, thanks to our friends over at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Find out who Jack's given his offensive and defensive game ball of the week to. He's going to do that a little bit later on. Is it going to be Dallin Holker? Is it going to be Mo? Is it going to be somebody else? We're going to find out. Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up next.